Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to another edition of The Drift. It's supposed to be a very beautiful day today. I'm hoping to get out and enjoy it myself a little bit. A lot to talk about. This is one of those weeks where, you know, guys like myself and TV pundits, of course, would just die for. I mean, just tons to talk about. And we're going to talk about the problems in the Middle East and how it's going to affect us. But I think closer to home, we have some other problems that we should also be looking at, because in the end, it's all about the economy in this election. So we'll get into that shortly. But our sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop out on Goffertson Road at M14 there in North Territorial Roads. If you're looking for hardscape, this is the place to go. Marco and Helena Scapaticci run The Rock Shop, and they have, 30, 40, probably more years than that, I guess, if you include all the help they have there that are very experienced. And when you go to The Rock Shop, you don't just get good quality stone and hardscape. You get the instruction you need. They will instruct you for free how to install the stones and the pavers that you're putting in. And they'll tell you how to do it the right way. And they'll make sure that you're buying the right stuff for the application that you want to do. They've got sales right now, the fall sales, with up to 50% off many items. And if you haven't been out to The Rock Shop, you need to at least stop in. It's very easy to get to right off of M14, exit 15. And just head north half a mile, not even, to North Territorial there, and you'll see it right at Goffertson and North Territorial. But they've got great statuary, garden benches, fountains. They've got some really awesome fountains. And just a lot of great ideas that you can put together for your yard or front yard or your backyard or your deck area. And just an awesome, excuse me, awesome place to check out. You'll see the wind chimes and the whole nine yards there. So a great place to go. You can catch them online at www.rock-shop. Now that's shop, shoppe.com. So it's rock-shop.com, but they spell shop, shoppe. That's the old English, I think they call it, shop. Or you can call them, 734-455-5560. And remember, they've got the fall sale going on, so up to 50% off of many items out there. So check them out for their fountains and things. Retaining walls, pavers, the whole nine yards. So a great place and good people, too. Real friendly folk. Excuse me. So this week we had the Middle East stuff, but we also had the Fed's decision to try to stimulate the economy again. And what many of us call that Fed pumping, it's really increasing the money supply by, well, basically printing money. Something we could probably all do. If they can do it, why shouldn't we all be able to do it? But unfortunately, it's not the greatest thing. It may make getting money a little easier in theory. It may not do that. And so what they decided to do this week was buy $40 billion a month in mortgage bonds. So what they're trying to do is free up some mortgage money so that it's easier for people to buy the homes, the glut of homes on the market that have already been foreclosed on. And you have to ask yourself, isn't that the same tact that got us into the home buying mess to begin with? Didn't we make money so easy to get that people who couldn't afford to make payments were getting homes and making a few payments and then going belly up? You know, making money easier to get isn't always the right answer to help the market. We've talked about it on this show many times. I mean, the money is out there. It hasn't disappeared. Some people still have that money, and they're hanging on to it with clenched fists because they don't want to give it up. You have to somehow find a way to let them get that money out of their hands. You have to make them want to. You need to give them a carrot. Okay, the taxation is a stick. You got to give them a carrot. How about removing that taxation? I tell you what, call in 734-822-1600, or you can email me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com. I'd like to get your opinions on whether you think you'll benefit from this $40 billion a month that the Federal Reserve is spending. Now, I'm not an expert on the Federal Reserve, but it's really your money they're spending. It's not the banks being all nice and buying mortgage bonds. The Federal Reserve is spending your money. And we're going to have to do a whole show on that, but I think it would take more than an hour to even touch the Federal Reserve. But Ben Bernanke said, you know, he feels that the Federal Reserve needs to take further action to help stimulate the economy. Well, as long as you have uncertainty in the market, there's nothing you can do. Interest rates are already at the lowest levels they've been in ages, and yet people are still not buying homes. Number one, they may not qualify, and number two, they may not have jobs or they may be underemployed. With those kind of things going on in the market, what makes you think easier money or cheaper money is going to be helpful? I don't think it will be. So I saw Theron this week on his afternoon show put a video that kind of explains quantitative easing is the technical term for what they're doing. It's really printing money. But it's very cute, and you can go to Theron's Facebook page and check it out, or you can go to currentonline.com and click on the Daily Drift. I put a link to it there as well. But it's very cute, a couple of animated characters explaining quantitative easing. But I found one I think that I think is even funnier. Do we have track one ready, Derek? Let's go with this because it's let's have a little humor on a Sunday morning, shall we?
Yeah. Now, right, there's a lot of uncertainty in world economics, isn't
there? There is a great deal of uncertainty and a lack of confidence.
Yes. Yeah, and there's a lot of talk of quantitative easing.
That's a term we hear all the time. That's a term you hear a lot at the moment, yes.
Yeah, what exactly is quantitative easing?
Well, I can answer this because actually we're advising a couple of governments about this right at the moment.
And what are you saying to them?
I should just take you through what we're telling them to do.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I won't go into a lot of detail.
No,
that'll be indiscreet, but this will give you an idea of how quantitative easing works.
Yep.
Take printer out of box and place on table with the out tray facing the window.
The out tray facing the window.
That's right. Load paper into the paper receptacle and place currency on glass tray F.
Right.
Check alignment by printing out a test page.
Right.
Go into copy settings and select double-sided and the number of copies you require.
How many would you suggest?
In the case of one of our clients, it's 80 billion. 120 billion in the case of another client, and one client wants a trillion of these things.
Can you get printers to do that?
No, you can't. You're going to need a bank of them. I mean, it's a multi-printer
job. You need some big ones,
yeah, big industrial strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big like a Bofors gun, all facing the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you've ascertained that you have the alignment correct, you alert the banking sector, open the window, and press copy.
And stand well back.
Yes, you've got to stand well back because they can create a bit of a vacuum while reaching cruising height.
Whereabouts?
In the superfund industry very often.
And you'd have to consider the wind direction too, wouldn't
you? Don't want to be doing this upwind.
No, because you'd be covered in pretend money, couldn't you?
Covered in what?
Pretend money.
No, this is not pretend money. This is real currency we're creating.
But aren't you just printing it off? I mean, these are photocopies, aren't they?
Excuse me. Dave, this is not going to work. Because I've just explained it to a bloke and he saw through it straight away. Are you in banking?
No.
No, he's not even in the banking racket. Mm. Okay, I'll try that.
Try what?
Have you ever heard of Rumpelstiltskin?
No.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. Pull up a chair. I'll tell you a tale.
Yeah. Okay. So basically what you've got is printing money. Okay. And what this may do is, excuse me, make it easier for some people to get loans, but it's devaluing the money that's already in your pocket and in your bank account. That's what printing extra money and quantitative easing will do. We have Doug on line one. Doug, welcome to the show.
Oh.
How are you doing today, Doug?
I'm doing just great, thank you.
Yeah, you got a comment on the Federal Reserve. Go ahead.
And I think you just said it, that when you add money without increasing the supply of goods, basically what you do is you increase the cost of those goods. And the examples that I have is, before they started this, I could not put $15 worth of gas in my car. Now, I cannot fill it up for $40.
Yes.
A dozen eggs used to cost 79 cents. Now it's $1.79.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you're just causing the value of the dollar to be worth less, so you have to spend more of it to get what you used to get. Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. That's crazy. A lot of people don't have that understanding, and I think the politicians, wouldn't you agree, Doug, that they just... Think they're pulling the wool over the people's eyes?
I think they must be. I thought of another thing. The president recently said, if you have that business, you didn't get there on your own. Well, I've come from the opposite direction, and I went from a comfortable middle-class lifestyle to basically low. Section 8 housing, bridge card, and a very small apartment.
Now, did you lose a job?
I'm saying, thank you, sir. I didn't get there on my own.
Right.
When the economy is like this, it messes up everything. I'm waiting for them to get out of real estate so that it settles down and people can do some investing.
Yeah, and that's why I like the idea of, you know what, taking the capital gains tax off of real estate. I mean, right now we have a glut of real estate. That's the problem. That's why people's homes are worth less. That's why property taxes are actually going down, because the values of the homes have dropped. If you want to increase those values, you need to get people buying up those homes. And the only way to do it is to give them a reason to do it. You know, if you tell people you can buy a home in the next 24 months and you'll never have to pay a capital gains on it, people are going to buy those homes, those second homes, vacation homes, those rental properties, you know, and get them off the market, you know, because it'll be a certainty that 10, 15 years down the road, if it goes up in value by twice, it will be worth more and they won't have to pay capital gains on it. You know, that's...
Well, in addition to that, they are also, if you're a real estate investor, they're making a lot of activities that were perfectly normal criminal. Like, oh, you're making a profit on this. Well, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Something like gas. If your prices are too high in a gas station, you're gouging. If they're too low, you're interfering with the market. And if they're the same, you're colluding.
Right, right.
It's illegal all three ways.
Yeah, well, that's the thanks to our government, I guess. How are you voting this year, Doug, if you don't mind my asking?
I think it's obvious.
Okay.
We have to get the socialist out of the government. After all, this plan that our dear president is using was used the first year the Pilgrims were in this country, where if the company owned everything, and, well, they practically starved to death. The next year, they divided up and says, you're responsible for this particular section of property. That's the capitalist system right at the roots.
Right.
And that year, they thrived because everybody was responsible. If you were too sick to work your land, you paid somebody else to work it for you.
Right. We actually went over this story last Thanksgiving, because this is a great story and a lot of people don't. They don't even teach that in school anymore, and that's the heartbreaking thing about it. Doug, we got to run to a break. I appreciate your phone call. Calling again. Love to hear from you. Great, great
it's
comments.
It's a pleasure talking to you. I'm glad I found you. I was looking for Joshua's Trail.
Yeah,
I couldn't find it.
I think they moved to Saturdays
there.
They
did. Well, yes. It's on Saturday, but they had an hour on Sunday, too, but it's not there this week. It's some financial planner.
Right, right. Well, call in again, Doug.
Anyways, I'm glad I found you.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling
in.
You too. Okay, so we're going to run into a break. We'll catch you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. line. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600. WHAM Talk 1600 can give a voice to your business, build a powerful brand, and increase awareness by sharing your message on WHAM Talk 1600. Our experienced production department will create a quality radio announcement at a price that can't be beat. You can even be featured on our website, whamradio.com, and in print media with WHAM on Main Street in the current newspaper, serving Washtenaw and Livingston counties. Unlock the possibilities and increase awareness of your business starting today. Call WHAM Talk 1600 at 734-971-1600 and get started now. The businesses that succeed in today's challenging economy are those that establish a strong presence in the marketplace. Call an advertising specialist now. Call 734-971-1600 now. WHAM Talk 1600. By Force of Patriots, a new thriller from Cameron Reddy, local author and attorney. In a world flipped upside down by liberal policies and political correctness, where all three branches of the federal government assert previously unknown levels of coercive power, Americans decide enough is enough and rise up to take back their country. More than a story of oppression and rebellion, By Force of Patriots examines the many ways America has strayed from its constitutional foundation. This is a story of Americans uniting again, as they did in 1776, to form a more perfect union. By Force of Patriots, you won't be able to put it down. Available on Amazon.com. By Force of Patriots by Cameron Reddy. Cameron Reddy.
Would you risk crossing a street busy with traffic against the light?
Watch where you're going!
Wearing a blindfold? Probably not. Other risks aren't as obvious, but could be just as deadly. Like the risk for type 2 diabetes. Take the free diabetes risk test to learn if you're at risk. Go to diabetes.org/take the test or call 1-800-DIABETES and stop diabetes before it stops you. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
This is the ClarkCast with Matt Clark.
Man cannot create rights. So just in the language of this proposal alone, proposed constitutional amendment to create a new right. Collective bargaining is not a right. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, those are rights given to us by high above. For you seculars out there, rights given to you at birth.
Don't miss the ClarkCast, live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Our son, Alan, was a combat medic.
One night in Iraq, his platoon came under heavy fire.
Without any regard for his safety, Alan left a covered position and rushed to the young wounded and was hit himself.
Critically wounded, Alan Babin will require daily care for the rest of his life. Paralyzed Veterans of America is here to help our injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned.
PVA is the voice of wounded veterans.
To support paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from WHAM Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at WHAM Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Dan, welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. So, we're talking about the Federal Reserve, and you can follow along. This is information I bring you every week. It's current events of the week and the politics involved with it. But the Daily Drift, I actually put up online. I peruse the internet for the information that you're probably not getting from the mainstream media. You can go to currentonline.com, that's C-O-U-R-A-N-T-online.com. Click on the Daily Drift tab, and you'll go to the information I make available for you every day. And it's good information, though, especially in an election year when you have to make some super important decisions. And you are probably tired of hearing it. It is the most important election of our time, without a doubt. We are heading toward a fiscal, financial cliff here in this country. And if we don't do the right thing, make the right moves, we will be going off, and this country will never be the same again. Hope and change that Obama brought in has become hopeless change because people are out of work. I think we said last week 89 million people in this country who could and should be working are not. We have the lowest participation in the workforce since 19... Well, I can't even remember what it is. I'd have to pull that information up. But it's important that we remember what's going on. The government is trying to do things that it should not do. Now, the Federal Reserve is pumping. They're printing more money to make it more easily available for people to borrow. And, of course, what you saw from this was the stock market jump 200 points on Thursday. And again on Friday they were up. Now, of course, people in the stock market, let's not forget, the stock market isn't what it used to be either. It's not your father's stock market. In the old days, people used to buy some stock, AT&T, and you've heard these stories. Somebody bought AT&T stock for 10 cents a share back in 1940 or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, in 1980, they got their stock certificates, and they became instant millionaires. That's long-term investment. That's what the stock market was originally designed to do. Today, we've got people who are day trading. We've got people pulling options out. Frankly, that's no different than gambling. When you're in it for the short term, you're gambling. You're hoping to manipulate the market or to catch the manipulation of the market and make a buck. That's short term. That's short-sighted. That's what adds the volatility to the market. So, you know, frankly, the government should be taking these day traders and taxing them with a high capital gains because that's negative behavior. You know, and it all comes down to behavior. Long-term investment is stable. It's patient. That's good behavior, and people should be rewarded for that. I'd like to see a capital gains structured system like that so that long-term investments are not taxed at the same rate as these people who are basically gambling. You know, options on oil, that's another thing that causes nothing but volatility to the market. So they should be taxed more. You know, you go to Vegas and you hit the gaming tables, you pay 50%. Maybe it's time that they do the same thing with day traders or stock manipulators, people who are trying to make that quick buck. You know, the American way is work hard, save your money. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But the Fed's not even doing that. The Fed is actually making money easy, making more money more available for people to invest poorly, probably in the stock market. It's gambling is what it comes down to. Now, Bernanke. Either way, the man thinks that the Federal Reserve has some power to possibly make jobs or create jobs. They don't. The government can never create jobs. Only private industry can create jobs. The government's job is simply to make the environment suitable for people to invest and create jobs. And that's something we need to get going. So you should be a little scared. If I were in the stock market, I wouldn't be all that happy over the last couple of days because you know there are going to be a bunch of profit takers, probably Monday or Tuesday at the latest, who will see that they've made short-term gains and they're going to cash it out. So this high that the stock market is on, it's like an addiction, frankly. They're going to need more and more, and that's why they keep asking for the Fed to make some kind of a quantitative easing so they can make their short-term profits. It's not a good idea. I mean, it's no different than any other addiction. So I believe you're going to see a nice fall in the stock market. Hold on to your britches. This is not going to help because the true facts are the economy still sucks. Jobs are still weak. There's no job creation going on, not enough to help. You know, we've talked about this before. 250,000 jobs a month is what is needed to handle population growth. And we had 96,000 last month. We're on a downward trend. It's not catching up. So hopefully this election will change things if we can get Obama out of office. Maybe you'll see a little difference, and the stock markets will go up for good reasons, not for the nonsense that we've had for so long. So you can email me, Gary, at the Daily Drift. www.alanbabin.com, or love to have your calls and your opinions, 734-822-1600. Let me know what you're thinking, and give me your opinions on things. So the stock market fueled up and went up and up, and now we're looking at a Fed that thinks it can do other things. So Bernanke, when the Federal Reserve Chairman in 1994 said that the Federal Reserve had a role in reducing unemployment, most of the Fed board at that time said that's not part of our policy. And it never did become policy until 2008. What happened in 2008? Oh, Barack Obama came into office. The Fed prior to that was focused on inflation, and they've kept inflation down since the 70s. I mean, Jimmy Carter was the last time we had a real inflation problem. But that era is obviously over. The signs are unmistakable. Ben Bernanke, the Fed chair, made clear on Thursday that job creation is its primary concern for the foreseeable future. Now, short of hiring a whole bunch of bank clerks, what are they going to do to ensure job creation? Under the leadership of Mr. Bernanke, the board changed, and it was changing because President Obama appointed most of the new board members for the Federal Reserve, and now they all want to be responsible for job creation. And that alone should tell you it's more government interference. We don't need more government involvement in this. We need less. What we want to do, hold on a second, we've got John on line one. John, are you there?
I certainly am. How you doing?
Great. John, we're going to be going into a break. This is John Hargan Rader from Livingston County, County Commissioner candidate. John, we're going to pick you up after the break, but I wanted to let you know I knew you were there. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit. And I know you've got some good views on the Federal Reserve, right?
I hope so.
Okay. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Hold tight.
Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. A pair of inside attacks has killed six NATO troops in Afghanistan, four of them American. Correspondent Kitty Logan in Kabul said on Sky News,
there's definitely a great deal of concern here at all levels about the rise in these so-called insider attacks. We've seen Afghan security forces repeatedly attack the international forces they are meant to be working with.
The other two victims were British. The State Department's ordered non-essential personnel and families of diplomats to get out of Sudan and Tunisia as anti-American protests continue to flare. Meanwhile, the FBI is investigating the scene of last week's deadly confrontation at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya.
What we can confirm on the ground, Marines off the coast, U.S. Navy destroyers in the air, aerial drones. So they're doing everything they can to try to begin this investigation in what is a very difficult and dangerous landscape.
Fox's Greg Palcott in Tunis. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Cub Scout Pack 409 invites boys of all faiths in first through fifth grades to join the Cub Scouts Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. at the Whitmore Lake Elementary School Cafeteria at 1077 Barker Road west of U.S. 23 in Whitmore Lake. Young boys pursue achievements in a well-rounded mix of games, athletics, academics, outdoor activities, and American citizenship. The fall roundup for new scouts is Tuesday, September 18th at 7 p.m. Come enjoy the 31st Annual Webster Fall Festival Saturday, September 22nd, located at Webster Church and Farrell Roads in Dexter. There'll be a delicious pig roast, live entertainment, artisans, antique cars, and old-time demonstrations, free admission, and parking. Proceeds to benefit both the Webster Township Historical Society and the Webster United Church of Christ. The St. Mary Chelsea Ladies Group 7th Annual Fall Fest Craft Show and Bake Sale will be Saturday, October 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 14200 East Old U.S. Highway 12 in Chelsea. Admission is $2 for adults over 18. To learn more, visit stmarychelsea.org. Hillside Terrace is very proud to continue participating in the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's in Ann Arbor. The walk is scheduled for Sunday, October 14th at Gallup Park. For more information about the walk, please visit alz.org/mglc. The Sunday Artisan Market at 315 Detroit Street in Ann Arbor is open every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. April through December. For more information, call 734-913-9622 or visit www.sundayartisanmarket.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWA. AM 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, brought to you by the Vincent Law Firm. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thank you, forefathers, and thank you, Vincent Law Firm, for supporting that Bill of Rights and that document 24-7. The Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970 or visit the Vincent Law Firm on the web at vincentlegalservices.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. Our sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop. If you've never been to The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, get ready to be amazed. To experience a rock shop is to see how utterly beautiful your home can be. From a magnificent collection of brick pavers to unlimited possibilities of retaining walls, slate patios, statuary, and fountains. The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road has it all, and they'll teach you to install for free. You'll get one-to-one instruction from Marco or staff, and they'll teach you how to do it right. No charge. Make sure you stop by the Rock Shop in Plymouth, north off of M14 at exit 15. It's the southwest corner of Godfredson Road in North Territorial, 734-455-5560. Or you can visit them online at www.rock-shop.com. Again, that's 734-455-5560. Great place, good people, and great prices. Right now you can get up to 50% off many items there. They're doing the fall sale with fall here. They want to get some merchandise moved. So a great time to get some really cool stuff out of the Rock Shop there at Godfredson Road. Garden benches, bird bath, the whole nine yards. So go check it out and see what you can do with your yard or deck area. 734-455-5560. Rockshop.com. Rock-shop.com. So on the phone with us, we have John Hargenrader. John, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Now, we had you on a couple weeks ago, John, and you are running for the Livingston County Commissioner. Is it District 9?
District 9, which includes Green Oaks Township and South Lyon and a little bit of Livingston County.
Okay, great. And you are the Libertarian candidate. So you've become my favorite Libertarian candidate because you very much impressed me when you were here a couple of weeks ago. Your knowledge of the locale and even state politics, which I think is important for a county commissioner, was astounding. I was really glad to have you on, and I'd like to have you on more often. So tell me a little bit about your running for the race and why you're doing that.
Well, I'm running for county commissioner because I think Livingston County is maturing. I moved here in 1992, and I see us now as a less rural area, less of a bedroom community, and more of a powerhouse growing county similar to Oakland County. And I think the structure of Livingston County needs to change to accommodate that.
Yeah, and we've had isn't Livingston County been, for the last few years, like the strongest growing county in the state?
It's one of the fastest growing counties over the last decade in the country.
Yeah.
And one of the few not to lose as much in terms of population. It's got low foreclosure rate and, like Oakland County, one of the higher income levels.
Right. You got a hot button issue too, John, that kind of galvanized you to run for office?
Well, not really. In terms of a single issue, other than the fact that I'd like to see Livingston County's structure be set up in a way that is more visible to its citizens. I think, like we talked about the last time I was there, not too many people can name their county commissioner.
Yes, that's
and
true.
So our typical interaction as citizens with county government and what's going on is kind of blind. And I think for people to have a better awareness what's going on in the county, that restructuring the government to have a county executive and a little bit more even press time, you know, that would bring would make people a little bit more aware of what's going on. And we wouldn't have things like the spark contracts and talking about commuter trains.
Right, exactly. That's my hot button issue. We won't even go there today because that'll take up too much time. So what's your contact information? What website, John, can people get you at?
johnhargenrader.org.
And want to spell Hargenrader for me?
H-A-R-G-E-N-R-A-D-E-R.
R-A-D-E-R. Got it. Okay, so John, I'm going to drag you into this Fed issue because as a libertarian, I know you've got some decent views that I agree with. What do you think about Ben Bernanke doing the additional $40 billion a month in buying mortgage bonds? Did I lose you, John? I guess I did. Somehow I must have lost his phone. Well, anyways, John will probably call back.
No, I don't think you lost me. I think things just dropped out there for a second. Well, I don't know where Bernanke is with the total monthly purchase. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you, John. Keep going.
Okay. He was at $110 billion a month, and if they keep inching that up, it's just a recognition that the federal government is borrowing more and more money because, frankly, the whole concept of quantitative easing is nothing more than printing money to buy your own debt. And that is kind of an outcome or an outgrowth of what happens when you borrow all the world's money and you go from one country to the next, from Japan in the 1980s to China and even Mexico when we expanded there. And we borrowed money from the Europeans in the 90s when all the German companies came here. And we've run out of people to borrow money from. There was a target after we borrowed so much money from China and they didn't want to purchase any more debt to try and borrow money from the banks of India, which was a growing economy. And eventually, we've run out of people over the last 30 years that are willing to buy our debt. And in order to finance the increased deficit, we've had to print up some money, send it over from Treasury to the Federal Reserve, and tell Mr. Bernanke to go ahead and start buying Treasury securities. So we're funding our own debt with our own printed money. And that is a clear recognition that your monetary policy has put your cash in a position where no one can be expected to have a return on your debt, that they no longer have confidence in it, or they would buy it.
Yeah, so that's so the amazing thing is, I mean, we're looking, if they continue to do this, at putting a wheelbarrow full of money together to go buy a loaf of bread, right?
Exactly. It is at some point in time not only inflationary, but there's a term people call the Keynesian endpoint, where it no longer works. And at that point in time, then you have to start doing things like are going on in Europe, where you can try quantitative easing to a point, and you can print money and relabel it in any fancy way you want to make people think it still has value. But eventually, you end up having to restructure that debt by having it written down or devaluing the currency or taking some other drastic means like large-scale spending reductions in government. And at some point in time, like Ron Paul says, that endpoint will be real, and the effects of it people will not like.
Yeah. One of the things that aggravates me when we talk about budget deficit reduction at the federal level, and the Republicans, I think, are just as guilty as the Democrats, they always talk about reducing the deficit over a 10-year plan. Now, isn't it true, you think, that they're saying 10-year plan because they're not making any dent on a one-year scale? You know, if we're spending $1.2 trillion a year more than we are taking in, over a 10-year period, that's, you know, $12 trillion. So when you talk about saving $500 billion over that same period of 10 years, you're not even making a dent, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I also saw the latest projections that they were working on a plan that would reduce and the deficit, eliminate the deficit by 2050.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you put those targets out there that far that you don't really know who to blame in the end for not hitting them, I think it's kind of funny. But, you know, the only alternative you have to reducing spending is to bring in more money. And we all have seen that in our personal lives. If we can't make our bills, we look for a better job. Well, the federal government can't look for a better job. It can only raise taxes. And that's what people really don't want to accept, is the fact that if you don't cut spending, the only way to eliminate the spiral death of this printing money is to raise taxes. And I don't think that's the right solution either.
Yeah, and we've looked at, you know, there's plenty of videos out there that will show you no matter how high you raise the taxes, you're not going to get enough to pay this kind of debt down. I mean, it really comes down to cutting the deficit. I mean, balance the budget. Is it going to hurt? Darn right it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot of people, but the alternative is to hurt even more people if this country goes bankrupt.
Well, you know, my concern has always been not only the actual deficit, but the amount of money we spend to finance it. And if you look at us lowering the interest rates through quantitative easing and holding interest rates low, in reality what we're doing is the same thing that, you know, people would like to do with their mortgages, to get down to where they can float that debt without ever really having to pay on it. But at some point in time, inflation will creep up. And when inflation hits the U.S. economy, back like it did in the early 1980s, where I had to finance a home at a 14% mortgage interest rate, the United States will not be able to afford the interest on its debt. The amount of money that we pay in interest now seems marginal. But if you raise the interest rates through a continuum of printing money and you get to where you have a large-scale inflation, imagine what it will be like when half of the outlay of all tax income goes purely to interest.
Right.
That's the debt spiral of where the debt is.
Yeah. I think a lot of young professionals today don't remember those days, obviously, because I bought my first house, like you. I paid 11.25% interest on my first loan on my first house. 11.25%. And people are complaining about 4 and 5% now. You know, that's just astounding that people don't remember what it used to be.
You got an 11% loan. Who did you know in the bank?
Well, that was 1986, so... but yeah, I mean, it was double digits, you know, and here we find it hard to make ends meet at 3% and 4% right now. That's what's really spooky.
Well, interestingly enough, there's a lot of money out there for homeowners around the 3% to 3.5% benchmark. My current interest rate on my home is 2.25%. And certainly that makes life a lot easier. But if you look at what will happen, if things change and the interest rates start to creep back up and you see home mortgages at 9% or 10%, you can imagine what the housing market is going to be like.
Right.
If the housing market is the way it is now, with zero housing starts, basically, very few housing starts and many empty homes, if you start raising interest rates from where they are now, you will completely erode even the market of people stepping in to buy all these repossessed houses. So there's a reckoning coming, and I agree with you. You know, when you look at your money you've saved your whole life in the stock market and you have a number on a piece of paper, those numbers don't mean a lot when it comes hyperinflation time, and I think that can be right around the corner if they don't start getting a handle on the debt situation.
Right, exactly. Well, John, thank you so much for calling in. We're going to move into a break, and we're going to have to get you on the show again because I always enjoy your commentary when you come in and see us. So we'll have you on in the next
week. Down and see you.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, John, so much.
All right, we'll see you.
Take care. That's John Hargenrader running for the Livingston County Commission, 9th District there. It's really the southeast corner of Livingston County. So a very good man, very smart man. Give him your support. Call him up, check him out, and hopefully vote for him in November. Libertarian candidate. Let's go for a break, Derek. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Middle East a little bit.
start your day. You want the latest information, news from around the world, and close to home. Wake up with an hour of Jim Bohannon's America in the Morning, 5 a.m. to 6. From 6 to 9 a.m., Wham! Brings you intelligent, conservative discussions that won't give you a headache. It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America, 9 to noon. You don't want to miss Glenn Beck, one of the most entertaining talk shows in America today. At noon, Laura Ingraham rips the left to shreds. She tells it like she sees it and doesn't hold back. Followed at 3 p.m. by Theronex and On the Edge. On the Edge. Don't let yourself be a boiling frog. Get informed with Theron. 6 p.m. to 9, it's The Savage Nation with Michael Savage. With Dennis Miller, 9 to 11. Overnight, experience the supernatural with Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie will keep you alert all night long. We're Wham! Wham. Talk 1600.
I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband, Helmut, had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit facingafib.com today.
Every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m. it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham Talk 1600.
When we get old, will you take care of me if I can't get around anymore?
Of course. We'll find a way. Are you going to take care of me if I can't see anymore?
I'll read to you every day.
And if one of us gets Alzheimer's disease, what then?
Call 1-800-437-2423 for a free booklet on caring for your loved ones from Alzheimer's Disease Research. 1-800-437-2423.
Friends, our managers overbought, and we're passing the savings on to you. Theron here with the Bone Conduction Music Show. Take any wig-singeing rock, hip-shaking soul music, or industrial-strength rhythm and blues tune and slash it in half. Hey, I'll give you 5 pounds of coffee if I can't beat your best deal. Join me here for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockinest show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m., right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. So, we've been talking about Fed pumping and printing of money, which is something you need to keep an eye on because the big question this year is the election. But the big story this week was the attack on U.S. embassies in Egypt and Libya, and it has now expanded to Yemen and Sudan. And, of course, the Obama administration wants to blame this YouTube movie snippet that's put out there. Now, if you haven't seen it, it's all over the internet. I tried watching it. It makes no sense. It's disjointed. It's poorly filmed. It's poorly acted. It's pathetic, frankly, and it's almost like a joke. So if there's a full length of that movie, I don't know that there is, but I'm sure it's not worth watching. The part I saw, it was very derogatory toward Muslims, but I think you see that derogatory kind of statements made about all religions. And so at some point, you've got to just dismiss it and say it's just garbage. Why pay attention to it? I think you give a cretin like the man who made it too much notification or too much attention. That's what he's looking for, is attention. And the guy's obviously something wrong with him to be putting out that kind of garbage. But how the Obama administration reacted to it was pretty pathetic at best. The attacks happened on what day? 9/11, the 11th anniversary of 9/11. Now, to blame a bunch of protesters for the death of the ambassador in Libya and three of his staff members on a movie is kind of pathetic when people showed up in a coordinated attack with rocket launchers. Someone, and it's the Middle East, I understand. When you go to a protest in the Middle East, chances are there's going to probably be some AK-47s. That's just the nature of the beast there, and pardon the pun, in the Middle East, people like to protest with guns. The same is Northern Africa. People like to protest with guns. But when they're showing up with RPGs to boot, you can't hide an RPG under your skirt or robe or whatever they're running around in over there. So obviously, I mean, even common sense would tell you there's more to this than just a bunch of protesters. Well, Jay Carney came out very quickly after the attack and tried to spin it in a way. Let's go with that next track, Derek.
Well, as you know, we are very vigilant around anniversaries like 9/11. The president is always briefed and brought up to speed on all the precautions being taken. But let's
saying
be clear.
But being very vigilant are different things.
Jake, let's be clear. These protests were in reaction to a video that had spread to the region.
At Benghazi?
What happened? We certainly don't know. We don't know otherwise. We have no information to suggest that it was a pre-planned attack. The unrest we've seen around the region has been in reaction to a video that many Muslims find offensive. And while the violence is reprehensible and unjustified, it is not a reaction to the 9/11 anniversary that we know of or to U.S. policy.
The group around the...
Okay. How stupid. I mean, that video's been out for weeks. The intelligence community, now the media didn't pick up on it that much, not here anyways. But you know darn well the CIA knew it was out there. You know the intelligence services from across Europe and in Israel probably knew about this, and it was starting to creep up. So it didn't just happen on 9/11. Those protests had already started. But to not say, or to say that it was not a response to American policy, well, it isn't a response to American policy. They hate us over there. They hated us when George Bush the first was there. They hated us when Clinton was there. They hated us under the second George Bush. You know, we're not well-liked in the Middle East, and it's because we've never been able to win the hearts and minds of those people. And part of it is because of the way they're raised. It's their religion. Their religion does not accept people who are not like, it's not an accepting religion. So they're not happy with Christians and Westerners interfering in their lives. And that hate has always been there. It's not going to change unless you find a way to change it and win the hearts and minds of the next generation. So it's incredible to me that Jake Tapper at least had to ask the question. But for Jay Carney to say it had nothing to do with 9/11 is absolutely outrageous. Now, he's saying we don't know about it. Let's take a look at that, shall we? Allegedly, according to The Independent, which is a UK paper, the killings of the U.S. ambassador and his staff may have been the result of a serious and continuing series of security breach. American officials now believe the attack was planned and that Chris Stevens, the ambassador, was slain because of it. Some of the missing papers from the consulate are showing that other safe houses in that area have also been attacked. So it's obvious that there was some information available that something was going to happen. I mean, you don't even need information. It's 9/11 anniversary. You know something could very well happen. Why wasn't their security beefed up? Well, I can tell you why. Because there is no record of an intel briefing for President Obama for the week before the embassy attacks. Now, why would the president not attend intel briefings the week before a 9/11 anniversary? Does that make any sense to anybody? When we talk about an empty chair, that's an empty chair. How do you not attend intelligence briefings the week before the anniversary of the greatest attack this country has ever seen? Where is our president, and where is he talking about foreign policy? For you not to attend intelligence briefings on the Middle East on the eve or week before the 9/11 attacks, it's incredible. I don't understand where he would be. This makes absolutely no sense. And yet he has the gall, the unmitigated gall, to go out and say Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan have no foreign policy experience. Well, neither do you, sir. Obviously. Because you've went out to say, you've made statements that you're bringing more respect to America around the world. Obviously not. Do your homework. Go to the Daily Drift. KernOnline.com. Click on the Daily Drift. Stay abreast of this information. It's there every week. I do it for you. Do your homework. Stay informed. Stay tuned to this radio station. And be ready to make the right choice at election time. Until next week, we'll see you. Thank you for catching my drift.